Mike, I'm looking outside. The snow is beginning to melt. We're flirting with spring arriving, which means...
time to look at planning summer travel.
And if you visit national parks often or have never been to a national park before, then you know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from the hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodations. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with the Moon Travel Guide.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful info for travelers.
And we are so excited about the newest updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring national parks.
From the top experiences, driving directions, itineraries, accommodations, local businesses, restaurant recommendations, and without a doubt, the best trail info for hiking trails, this Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. And if you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And this Trail Mix episode is all about glacial retreat, or how we killed the Earth. Mike's darkness aside, yes, he is the one who wrote this episode. He's not wrong.
Okay, so let's talk about glaciers and where we have seen them.
Okay, well, recently we did see a glacier in Iceland.
We did.
A very famous glacier. I'd say that is probably the biggest glacier we've ever
Absolutely.
Seen.
Absolutely.
It was huge.
It was gigantic.
And
you can hike on it.
You can.
We did not do that.
No. We got fairly close to it, though.
We did. Yeah. We didn't have the time / we didn't. That's like an excursion-y kind of trip that you can do.
We also saw them in...
Mount Rainier National Park.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then also in Glacier National Park.
We did. There are other parks that have glaciers that we just did not... see when we were in.
That's right.
That we have been to. So there are actually 12 national parks that are known for their active alpine glaciers. Aside from the ones in U.S. national parks that you have mentioned, can you name the rest? So we've already talked about Mount Rainier, and we've already talked about Glacier.
Okay, so that's two of the 12.
10 more.
Okay.
So can you name those other 10 parks?
I would imagine it's quite a few in Alaska. So I'm going to say Gates of the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
Denali.
Yeah, we're still going with that name.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we are. I don't think there are any in Olympic, but are there?
There are.
Okay, great. So mm-hmm. that's five. Is Point Reyes? No.
No. That's in California.
And that's in California. Mm-hmm. And that's not a national park.
Mm-mm. It's a national seashore.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say this, and I can name them. Most, if not all, the Alaska parks have glaciers.
Okay, now, yeah, and I'm just struggling with the Alaska parks.
There are two others in the lower 48 that you haven't named.
Okay. Crater Lake?
No.
Okay, I'm going to try some more. Pinnacles?
No.
Yosemite?
No.
Okay. It is one in California.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. So the...
North Cascades.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one more. And we've also been to this park.
Grand Teton.
Yes.
There we go. Look at me.
So the complete list is Denali, Gates of the Arctic, Glacier Bay.
Glacier Bay.
Glacier National Park, Grand Teton, Katmai, Kenai Fords, mm-hmm. Lake Clark, Mount Rainier, North Cascades, Olympic, and Wrangell-St. Elias.
Yeah, there they are.
In the lower 48, one of these parks stands above the rest in the concentration of glaciers that's there.
That's Mount Rainier.
No.
Mount Rainier has the most ever.
Mm-mm.
What is it?
It's North Cascades, believe it or not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But good job.
Okay, great.
So some of what we'll point out today is an extension of our episode from season 4 titled The Science of Glaciers. While we did touch on glacier science and the impact of our warming environment and the state of glaciers worldwide in that episode, we really only just scratched the surface.
In some ways, you could consider this episode a part 2 to our earlier Glacier Trail Mix episode, and in some ways, it stands on its own. While our episode Science of Glaciers explored glaciers through the lens of Glacier National Park, this episode will be more encompassing and focus on our warming planet and the deglaciation of the Earth. So, to begin, let's refresh, what is a glacier?
From our earlier episode, glaciers are humongous masses of ice. They are formed when snow falls repeatedly in a concentrated area of land, and the snow builds up and compresses over time. There are glaciers in every continent on the Earth, and are mostly found in cold or alpine climates. In order for glaciers to form, they must be in high snowfall areas that also remain cool in the summer. The amount of snow the area receives will depend on if the glacier grows, remains stable, or is in what scientists call retreat, also known as getting smaller. If the snowfall in the winter is greater than what melts off in the summer, a glacier can grow or remain stabilized. However, if glacier melt is greater in the warmer months than the snowfall is in the colder months, the glacier will retreat.
As we will spend a great deal of our time this season in the Pacific Northwest and head back there for more travel this year, we felt it important to highlight glacier retreat and its impact on these landscapes. This was something we heard firsthand from the people we were traveling with who were familiar with these park spaces from their youth.
But glacial retreat is not only highlighted in oral history, but also in scientific record keeping and, in the most seeing is believing fashion, photography.
Let's add on to our understanding of glacier growth and glacial retreat. In glacier growth, factors such as precipitation and temperature play a major role. As precipitation accumulates through snow, sleet, and freezing rain, and if the precipitation survives for more than one melt season, it forms a more compressed layer known as a fern. The fern further compresses other accumulation and creates thickened masses of ice.
Under all of this weight and pressure, glaciers move, whether it's a downward flow like a valley glacier or in an outward flow in all directions like a continental sheet glacier, glaciers move. The weight of the snow, ice, and fern and the pressure created because of it is one of the key factors in this movement, also known as creep. Along with the tremendous weight of the glacier itself, glaciers may slide or move through a landscape due to water at their base or because they are formed on soft sedimentary beds that has some water in it. This is known as basal sliding.
Basal sliding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, glacial
growth.
She's
slipping.
She's slipping. Yeah, that's that. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. That means she's slipping.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say to each other when somebody can't remember something. Mm-hmm. We say, oh, she's slipping.
Yep.
However, glacial growth, while still occurring, is outweighed by retreat. A variety of factors contribute to this retreat, but rising temperatures and lack of snow accumulation are the prevailing factors in glacial retreat. Whether valley, alpine, Piedmont, cirque, tidewater, or ice-filled glacier, most have experienced significant loss. In fact, worldwide, glacial loss and glacial melt is increasing.
Glaciers, which are remnants of the last true ice age, have undergone an incredible amount of change in the last 10,000 years. While a great deal of the landscape of the Earth was once under vast sheets of ice and the sea level was much lower, through shifts to the overall climate of the Earth through natural progression, eventually these ice sheets retreated to the polar regions of the Earth as well as mountainous regions.
The cycle of the Earth between ice ages and interglacial periods has happened in a fair amount of regularity throughout the Earth's history, as studied through ice cores, deep sea sediments, fossils, and landforms. These periods are often slow to develop and end rather quickly.
The last true ice age was most likely caused with the shifting of the Earth's land masses, as the isthmus between North and South America, which is now Panama, formed and closed off the Atlantic from the Pacific Ocean, significantly altering the ocean currents of the Earth. Another factor which has caused ice ages of the past was predictable changes to the orbit of the Earth, which altered the amount of sunlight reaching parts of the Earth's surface.
Even though these cycles have been mostly predictable, there has also been variation to the cycle in the Little Ice Age. This period of time, which began in the 1300s and lasted till the middle of the 1800s, had a global temperature drop that saw an expansion of mountain glaciers. While this climate cycle did alter the temperatures of the Earth, it did not so uniformly as a true ice age would. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. We have now found ourselves on the opposite end of the Little Ice Age and more akin to and greater than what came before it, the medieval warm period. This was a period of climate anomaly that saw temperatures much greater than the global average for the time. It is also a period which saw glacial retreat, though most likely not as bad as we see today.
The medieval warm period was also the last time Mike was optimistic. Okay, so just how bad is it? So over the past 6,200 years, we have seen more retreat than growth from Patagonia to Alaska to the Alps. Also, Patagonia and Alaska, both are drag queens. Famous. Glacier retreat is an alarming and exponentially growing trend. The World Glacier Monitoring Service, or WGMS, has been doing its part to track gains and losses to glaciers worldwide. Overall, the WGMS tracks the changes in 140 alpine glaciers and uses about 40 of them as climate reference glaciers, which are surveyed every year.
From the 1980s forward, the rate of loss has exponentially grown. In the 1980s, there was about 8.4 inches of loss categorically in glaciers worldwide, while in the 2010s, there was about 35.3 inches. These rates are equivalent across the board, as our changing climate is having widespread impact.
Yikes!
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. They're just disappearing right in front of our eyes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's
Isn't
right.
science wonderful, it but is. Terrible, terrifying?
Yes. I remember Becky described the glaciers mm-hmm. in Glacier National Park as shrimpy, and they are shrimpy.
Compared to what we've seen now.
They're shrimpy.
Yeah.
And they're small. And like once they're gone, bye girl, mm-hmm. you know, they're done.
Yeah.
They'll be like, it'll be more like a glacier was once here.
A plaque.
There will be a plaque. Yeah. Plaque National Park.
A dentist's favorite.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those yahoos that's like, I hate the cold. Who cares about glaciers? I'm so glad it's getting warmer. do we have news for you. So glaciers do matter. They matter for so many reasons, and their ultimate decline due to human-impacted climate change will have large implications on the future for so many things. So let's explain why.
Glaciers provide drinking water. In fact, 70% of all fresh water is stored in these icy giants. Many mountainous countries rely on glaciers and meltwater to provide drinking water when infrastructure and climate may not be able to provide as readily. Glacier melt often becomes rivers which feed communities of people and animals.
Along with providing water, drinking water to animals and people, glaciers and their melt provide irrigation to plants and allow farming to take place in more arid mountainous regions. Like general snowmelt, glaciers also provide water to landscapes that may otherwise become dry and fire-prone in warmer months, allowing for a lower potential for fire damage.
Glaciers also provide clean power, as glacier meltwater and lakes have been dammed to create hydroelectric power. As we continue to move toward a climate of warming, the limiting and elimination of fossil fuel is a paramount goal for us all.
And the glacier meltwater and lakes, they have been what? Dammed. When we look toward the future of glaciers on the Earth, it is important to remember the dire straits we find ourselves in. As the exponential rate of warming continues, the worst case scenario is that by 2100, 83% of glaciers would disappear completely. For some, no matter best or worst case scenarios, it is already too late.
As glaciers disappear and the worldwide fallout over fresh drinking water, farming, and clean power come to a head, the specter of a rising ocean is an even grimmer fate to tackle.
The sources for today's episode include NASA Earth Observatory, the National Snow and Ice Data Center, and the National Park Service.
And now, let's end this episode with a game.
All right, Mike, I've prepared our game for today.
Beautiful.
I was inspired by the word retreat.
Mm.
So this game has a few layers.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to incorporate some spa-like music into this game.
Oh.
This category is called Unlikely Retreats.
Mm.
As though we are on a yoga retreat, I'm going to explain to you what we are doing.
Great.
And then you are just going to need to tell me what kind of retreat we are on.
Okay.
Great. And I'm going to use my best ASMR yoga voice.
Great.
For 100, reach down toward the earth and pick up the towel. Inhale and reach toward the sky. Exhale as you let the towel fall down into the machine in front of you. Reach out in front of you and close the metal lid. Place your hand on the dial, use a gentle grip to adjust the time, and gently pull toward you. Wash and repeat.
What is a laundry retreat?
That is correct.
Okay.
What is a laundry retreat?
Got it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This is called unlikely
Got
retreats.
It. Mm-hmm. Gym, tan, laundry.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
For 200, we'll begin by gently moving down the produce aisle. Breathe in, smell the fresh fruits as you gather a plastic container of raspberries. Then gently move yourself around the corner to the frozen food aisle, where you will exhale, pick up a box of frozen pizza, feel the chill of the cold cardboard sink into your fingertips, and you breathe. And the breeze of the chilled air passes around you as the freezer door closes.
What is a frozen food aisle retreat or a grocery store retreat?
There we go. What is a grocery shopping retreat?
Okay.
Okay. For 300. Feel the tingling sensation of the warmth on your skin as you inhale. That distinct smell of gaseous fumes as you lift the hood of your vehicle. Exhale as you reach for the baton to support the weight of the hood covering. Inhale as you gently remove the dipstick. Exhale as you wipe it down. Inhale as you insert it back into the tube. so that you might check the oil's supply.
What is an oil change retreat?
Yes, I'll take car maintenance retreat.
Okay.
For 400. Take in the spring day as you sort through the mail you received back in January. Inhale as you sort the 1099s into one pile. Exhale as you move the W-2s to another. Move the pile to the side as you consult your bank statements to sort your write-offs and deductions. Inhale the audit, exhale the withholdings.
What is a tax filing retreat?
That is correct.
God, the worst kind of retreat. The worst.
And finally, for 500, allow your arms to reach in front of you as you gently pick up the pile of shirts you no longer wear. Move your legs, one in front of the other, until you are in your front yard that you've adorned with tables, so that you might sell this pile of shirts. Inhale the smell of the Sharpie as you create a price tag to hang on each shirt, boasting a significantly reduced price.
What is a yard sale retreat?
That is correct. Look at you go, 5 for 5. And that was Unlikely Retreats.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.